It's the dream of every scientist to explore territory no one else has seen. And it's coming to UH graduate David Truong, who's been selected as a participating scientist on NASA's first asteroid sample return mission, OSIRIS-REx. OSIRIS-REx is en route to Bennu, an asteroid approximately 1,600 feet in diameter, orbiting in the solar system. They'll take samples of the asteroid and return them to Earth. David will work with preliminary survey maps of Bennu, gathering data that will help scientists understand how planetary bodies are formed. For David Truong, it's the culmination of a love of science that began in childhood.
When I was a kid, back in, I think it was like second grade, and we were in the library and we were kind of walking around. You had to check out a book, you know, you're a little kid, you have to get into reading and stuff like that. And I remember walking around and looking at these different books, and when I found these books on all these planets and how we have pictures of all these different planets, yeah. I was just like, oh, no way, you know, this is this is too cool. So, you know, flipping through the books, it's just so exotic from Earth, because when I was a kid, I always looked at, like, maps of Earth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's so different, and that really caught my eye, and ever since, I was like, this is what I want to do, and I've been kind of following, you know, as much as I can and reading up on it as much as I could, so it was... It's always been my thing.
Well, those images, you know, they're not only beautiful and, you know, the colors and everything are incredible, but they're kind of mysterious, right? They draw you in.
Yeah, and it's just things we've never seen on Earth before, or they're very uncommon. It's just, and of course, the colors always help and make things a little bit more beautiful, especially when you're a child.
Yeah, sure. But that part of you that was originally stimulated by those images, it gets kept alive as you become a serious, you know, pursuing science, right?
Oh, for sure. I still have these memories back in the day of seeing, like, an entire global map of Venus and just seeing how weird that is. It's still with me, and even the work that I do today, when I go through images, you know, I'm always awed by how beautiful our solar system is.
What kind of things can you learn from the images? You kind of analyze images, and that's a simplified version.
Right, yeah, we do. We have all sorts of data coming from instruments. Each one tells you a little bit different things. For example, the electromagnetic spectrum, ranging from like the visible light to near-infrared to thermal-infrared, they tell you all sorts of different things, and you take all these things together. You can make measurements. For example, we know like the distances that we're seeing on the maps. You can measure, like, example, boulders and craters. We also have laser altimeters that tell you the topography, so we can actually start measuring different sizes of, like, craters and volcanoes and such.
How far out from Earth? You know, are these planets in the solar system?
Yeah, so usually we're using, like, spacecraft data to understand, like, for example, the moon. So these things are in orbit, and they're doing these measurements. And it's really amazing, especially, like, in the near-infrared and thermal-infrared. We can even get composition. We can figure out which minerals are there.
Near-infrared and thermal-infrared?
Yeah. So we're talking about things that are in, like, these wavelengths are in the 1 micron range, all the way out to like tens of microns and hundreds of microns. So it's just really cool to use this data to understand our body without having to land on it.
Not visible to the naked eye, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But what does it tell us about, what, heat, temperatures?
The thermal infrared tells us a little bit about temperatures as well. So it's another way of getting an idea of how big rocks are without actually, you know, visually measuring it. We can actually tell how big it is by something called what we call thermal inertia. So basically, how fast does these rocks lose heat? As, for example, for the moon, as it goes into the night, small rocks will lose heat much faster. So we can tell that, you know, the surface is mostly fine-grained rocks, where big rocks take a long time to lose heat. Yeah. So throughout the night, it's still, like, releasing that heat, and we can detect that.
Now, you wouldn't think of using a not-visible-to-the-naked-eye data to extrapolate that kind of information, or a civilian wouldn't anyway.
Right, yeah, and it's amazing because even when we go all the way out to like radio wavelengths and radar, it's great because we can penetrate the atmosphere of Venus or one of the moons of Saturn, Titan. We can actually see the surface, even though you can't see it with the visual eyes because of all the clouds that are covering on top. But with radar wavelengths,
you create a really accurate image.
Yeah, they're really accurate, and they're beautiful, and you know, it's something we've never seen before, and it's always, you know, surprises us whenever we look at these bodies.
Can you tell color as well, even though there are clouds?
Not with color. Usually, you know, it's just one wavelength, and you're using a wavelength that's
shapes,
not in the visible.
Shapes, but not colors.
Right. It's mostly like topography and stuff like that. Yeah.
Can you extrapolate what the colors might be? Educated guess.
When we were looking at talking about like Venus or Titan, not really. Not without seeing things invisible. Light.
Yeah.
You can't really figure out without having that visible camera in there. So, and because we can't see with visible, then we can't get the colors, that's unfortunately.
That's where the science fiction writers take.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, if anything, when it comes to science fiction writers are the ones that really, you know, lead the way in recruiting people.
They do seem to fire the imagination.
For sure. And, you know, it definitely helps fire my imagination as well, and helps me become and stay excited as well.
One of the things about astronomy that I find fascinating are these, you know, concepts that test our very ability to understand anything. And I'm talking about things like the pondering where the edge of the universe might be, the whole idea of the universe having the universe ending, or, you know, having an end point, having a beginning, you know, in time. Taking on ideas like that, does that continue to fire your imagination?
Not so much. I have. I really love sticking with planetary science more than going a little bit beyond. And part of that reason is, you know, we actually have images and of planets and seeing how unique and beautiful they are. A little bit beyond that, it is. It's just so mind-blowing that I can't even wrap my head around it. So it's really hard to just kind of imagine. But I do love it. Like you said, it's still amazing, but it's so much for my head to wrap around.
Well, in a way, it's reassuring for me to hear a scientist say that, you know, because you do think that it challenges your ability to understand. But you prefer data that you can really work with and what you can get from that data.
Right. And I just like seeing, I just love looking at maps. That's always been my thing.
Yeah. How does that dovetail into this project, the Asteroid Sample Return Mission?
Basically, we've never been to this asteroid. So the OSIRIS-REx mission is to go to an asteroid called Bennu. It's about 500 meters across. And we have some images of it from Earth-based telescopes and stuff like that, but you know, they're not very high resolution. So the OSIRIS-REx mission will actually come approach this asteroid for the first time, and when we get there, it's going to be amazing. Basically, it's something that we've never seen before, and that's. And, you know, that whole mystery, it's like opening a Christmas present. You don't know what's going to be there. You're excited. And in some ways, it's like with the telescopes, it's like shaking a Christmas box. You know, you have an idea what might be there, but you don't exactly know until you're actually there. So seeing something for the first time, that's just amazing. You know, I don't know how to like describe it in words and how excited that is. You know, how excited I am to do this.
Are the data coming in all at once?
So when we go to Bennu, so we will get there late fall this year, and we'll be orbiting for a year. So we will be getting images for over a year, collecting data as well. And then the sample return will happen about 2020 in the summer. So a little bit of ways from now still, but, you know, we got to take that time to actually collect the data and understand it.
So you're going to be kept busy for a while.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm excited, really excited, so can't wait.
David Truong is a graduate of the University of Hawaii at Hilo, where he earned his Bachelor of Science, and at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, where he earned his doctorate, completing that in December of 2014. He was selected as a participating science for the OSIRIS-REx mission to help broaden and complement the expertise of the team by analyzing data, providing maps to help in sample site selection. You can find out more at the conversation page at hawaiipublicradio.org.